chapter number 32. I'm going to start reading in verse number 23. Genesis 32, verse number 23. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture, and I'm sure that I know that you've heard this all of your life. It's something that we learned as kids. But the Lord's laid this on my heart this morning. We want to do the best we can with what the Lord has given us. But in verse 23, the Bible says, And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said unto him, "Thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore it is that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose unto him, and he hath halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. And we believe that'd be all the Lord have us to read in your hearing this morning. And we pray that God richly add his blessing to the reading of his word. But as we look right here, our thought or our text this morning would be a change. And there's so many things in modern Christianity today that teach against a change. But the Scripture has taught us from in the beginning to amen, if you get saved, there will be a change. And like I said, in modern Christianity, in easy believism, and that's what Christianity has conformed itself to. The Bible said in Romans 12:1, "Therefore, be ye not conformed unto this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that perfect and good and acceptable will of God." And so, now the Bible teaches us not to conform ourselves, but to be transformed. But in this day and time which we live in, it seems like we cater more to society, we cater more to social standards, and to, political correctness and weak listen. We can use all these big array of big words that you can come out with, but basically what we have done is we've bowed down to Pharaoh. Amen? And we have let the world, we have let society influence Christianity to the point that, listen, in most churches today, we do not preach that there has to be a change. Amen. We just roll everything up in the ball of easy believism, and that's what I want to preach on this morning. The Bible says this in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. And most churches, they take that passage of Scripture and they say, "Have you been saved?" And the answer to that is no, most times. And listen, this is why we, as the educated society of the church, those that are born again and saved by the grace of God, we need to protect our children. Amen. There's a lot of people got a lot of problems with the things that I do, amen. But you can count one thing assured. On Sunday morning, if my kids go somewhere else to stay, on Sunday morning, they'll be with me when it comes time to go to the house of the Lord. Amen. And they need to be with you as well. Amen. Because what I'm telling you, friends, today, they're influenced, these precious little children, and their minds are so carried over and so influenced by society and by these authority figures that we have built and established in our lives. And listen, we look at the statue that we give sports figures in our lives and the influence that they have over our children. And one thing we need to remember, we need to put more influence on the Word of God amen, and the person of the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Hey, if I want my son to emulate somebody, I do not want him, he may be a good man, but listen, I don't want my son to emulate himself after Matt Ryan, amen. I want him to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Not like his daddy. I want him to read the Word and be like Jesus. Amen. So listen, as we read right here, and listen, we need to, as the church, we need to regather our minds and our thoughts, and we need to refocus how we're raising our children. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, train a child up in the ways in which it should go, and when it grows old, it shall not depart from it. Amen. Now listen, I don't know if you've ever trained any dogs before, amen, but listen, my granddaddy was a big fox hunter, and we was always training dogs, and listen, you may not like this, especially in today's society. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, animals, and we may have a lot of dog lovers, and you may hate me when you leave this morning, and that's fine. This is just the way I was raised. But listen, dogs eat the leftovers. They don't get what starving children should. Amen. God has given us dominion over them. They are not equal to us. Amen? But society tells us different. But listen, I remember when Granddad was training fox dogs when I was a kid. And it took me a long time to get over it the first time I ever seen it. Amen? And listen, I was young. I was 4, 5, 6 years old. But listen, we went up on the mountain, and Granddad was training a new set of fox dogs. And he hit the fox horn that morning, and one of the dogs didn't come back to the pen. And listen, Granddaddy hit it about 3 or 4 more times. He never came back. And listen, I seen him go to the truck. He went and got his gun. He said, let's get in. Let's go find him. Listen, he went up down the road trying to find the dog. As soon as he found the dog, he killed out. He rolled out of the truck, shot him in the head, and killed him. If you can't train him, it ain't worth having. That's the way I was raised. But society tells us that's wrong. And I'm not saying, standing here saying that it's right. I'm just telling you that's the way I was raised. If it didn't do its job, it wasn't worth having. But what I'm telling you as parents today, it is our job to make sure, listen, it is our job to make sure, first and foremost, that we are parents to our children before we are friends to our children. Amen. My mama beat me black and blue. Amen. She raised me by herself for the most part, half my life. And listen, she was the mama and she was the daddy, both. Amen. And listen, she was the one who loved me and she's the one who beat me. But I never forget, as mama, listen, mama raised me a lot different probably than most of you were raised, and maybe or maybe not. But listen, the day I got married, I was 20 years old. Mama kissed me on the forehead. She said, I've raised you all your life to live by yourself, to never ask anybody for anything. I love you. She kissed me on the forehead and said, God bless you. Never been back since. Amen. Yeah, I've been back to see my mama, but when I left, I left. But what I'm telling you, friends, is this. There was a childhood. There was a raising that was put inside of me. Listen, and I'm talking about a godly raising. That's what the scripture teaches us. We should raise our children in a godly home. Amen. With a godly mother and a godly father. And I am the biggest proponent of family that you have ever seen, because I've never had a complete one. Amen. Listen, I never spent Christmas morning in the same place one day my entire life. And when my children were born, I said, if you want to see me, my kids are going to have Christmas in my house, and that's where I'll be. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Listen, family is the most fundamental, important thing. Listen, God has built the Word of God on family. Amen. Listen, He created the man. From the man, He took a rib and He created a woman. He said, go forth and multiply. God, listen, God blessed the marriage covenant. God keeps the marriage covenant. And listen, He also sustains all things that cover all about. Amen. God loves the family. We as Christians should respect that as well. Amen. Train your children in a godly home. When you say, preacher, are you one of those preachers who don't forgive people? No, I'd be the very first one to tell you, I'm glad that there is life. And I want to say this because people say, well, preacher, you're just beating around the bush. I'm glad that there is life after a divorce. Amen. It's not the end of all things. Because I want to say this too. Amen. I've seen circumstances in my life. In my life where the marriage, listen, it had to end. It had to end. Amen. See, we scare away from these things and we don't mention these things. And we confuse people. Amen. Because when there's domestic violence and alcoholism and things going on in the home, it's better to walk away sometimes. Amen. Look at me and say amen. Amen. I'm not telling you a lie. Hey, I'm telling you something. We need to be real about things sometimes. Amen. That's why the most important and essential thing in our life is prayer. If we lead our life by prayer, God, guide my steps, guide my decisions. Young people, listen, the greatest benefit that you could ever do in your entire life is pray that God sends you the man or woman in your life that would fulfill you and complete you, that God would bless you with a family, that you could grow old together. Most of all, if God joins it, the Bible said, let no man put it asunder. Yeah. Amen. If God joins it, let no man put it asunder. Now listen, I'm going to get to this. I ain't even got to the scripture. I apologize. You might say, what does all that have to do with this? Nothing really, but I'm just going, that's all free. And he said unto them, and he sent them over the brook and sent him all that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now here, what I want to preach on is the change. Amen. Listen, we have got to get back into the modern church today. Listen, I don't care what else going on. These activities that we got going, and they're all great and fine and good. But the foremost thing we need to keep in everything that we do is Jesus. Amen. When we go out as the church, the first thing we've got to present is Jesus. Because the world, society, has took the change out of Jesus. But in Jesus, there must be a change. Jesus told Nicodemus in the third chapter of the book of St. John, Nicodemus came to him by night, the scripture said, and you all know this, and you're very familiar with this passage of scripture, but Nicodemus came to him and he said, how is it possible that a man could be born again? How? Now, I want to direct you to the question that Nicodemus asked. He asked him how. He didn't ask him why. Amen. So many people today, they want to ask, why do I have to do this? And why do I have to? Why? Listen, we hear that all the time. Amen. Listen, they turn into little why machines when they turn 6 years old. Amen. That's all that. Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? You better have some kind of sufficient answer because there's another why behind it. But Nicodemus didn't know. He didn't want to know why he had to be born again. He wanted to know how. Amen. And I believe that's the difference in conviction. Because, listen, a lot of kids, they ask, why do I need to be saved before they're convicted? But when they are convicted, they ask, how can I get saved? Amen. There's a difference between asking why and how. Because when Nicodemus came to Jesus, by night, he surrendered all of his whys. He no longer wanted to know why. He wanted to know, how do I get saved? He said, how does a man enter once again into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You see, there is a change. In the book of Romans in 5 and 12, the Bible says, Wherefore, when old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Amen. Listen, all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So listen, there is a change that must transpire. In Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that of yourselves, for it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Friends, listen to me today. I'm glad the day I got saved, listen to me, the day I got saved, as much confidence as I had in my granddaddy, I sat beside him, and I see it so clearly in my mind's eye, as even as I stand here right now, and I'm glad the day I got saved, listen to me. I'm not borrowing somebody else's axe head, as I've already preached about, amen? But listen, I'm glad that my testimony is mine. So many other people say, you know, I don't know if y'all know who Dean Bryan is or not. He's dead. He's an old preacher from around the house. But somebody said one time, said, Dean, boy, I'd like to have what you got. He said, if you'd like to have what I got, I'd get rid of what you got and get what the Lord got. Amen. Amen. Quit wishing and wanting for what somebody else has. Because I don't know about you, but what I have, the experience that I had with the Lord Jesus Christ, is invaluable to me because it is mine. Amen. Tony, I love you. I've been in meeting with you, run revival with you. Amen. Listen, I've heard your testimony. I believe you're saved. I believe my wife is saved. But amen, I don't want theirs when it comes time to die. Glory to God, I want my testimony. Not yours, I want mine. Excuse the bench. Mine. So many people want what somebody else has. But what I have, I know will do when it comes time to meet Jesus. But so many other people have easy believism. They've been catered to by the world. It goes like this. Son, have you ever been saved? No, sir. Take me by the hand. Let me show you how easy this is. Take me by the hand. As I take my Bible and I flip over to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, do you believe that you're a sinner? Because the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you believe that, son? Yes. There's none righteous, no one. Do you believe that, son? Yes. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, do you believe, that you'll be saved, son? Do you believe this? Yes. The preacher says you're saved. It's happening right now. And I mean right now, all across the United States of America. It's happening right now in Forsyth and Dawson and Hall and Lumpkin County. And they come and they get baptized. And they spend their whole lives off of what some preacher has told them. Amen. Listen, and they're holding the words of life. Amen. Peter, we've already had this discussion. I'm going to fix this in just a minute. But Peter, he said unto him, the Bible says that Jesus spoke a hard saying one day. Many of the people which followed him departed and went another way. He went back to Peter. He said, Peter, will thou also go away? And he said, Lord, to whom else will we go? For thou hast the words of life. People in places of prominence and the callings of God, you need to bid yourself weary and easy of the calling that God has placed on your life, because your words, your acts, your thoughts, and your intentions carry more weight than you can ever imagine. There's a lot of little eyes and little ears. And they're watching, and they're listening. You understand what I'm telling you, friends? There must be a change. Jesus, now, we have men all over the, we have men and women all over the world today. Preacher, what are you saying? Are you saying that the word is not true, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Absolutely. We're all sinners. The Bible tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Absolutely. We are unrighteous. We are unholy. We are unsanctified. We are deserving of one thing, and that thing is hell. Amen. Jesus, listen, Doubting Thomas asked Jesus, I quoted a minute ago, he said, Lord, to whom shall we go, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father lest he come by me. Amen. Listen. Oh, now listen. There's more to this. Jesus said, no man come unto me lest the Spirit which sent him draw him nigh unto me. Amen. So now we have the third person of the Godhead. Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, then the Comforter cannot come. On the second chapter of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said they were all together in one accord, in one mind. But there's one thing that happened that day. A change came. They could have walked out of there, and they could have tried their best to tell everybody around them that something that happened. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is when the Lord changed them, they didn't try to do anything. There was this change so profound within Peter that very moment when the fire fell out of heaven as a rushing mighty wind, the word of God says, and cloven tongues fell on him. And Peter had this influx and inrush as the third person that God had filled him with. And now listen, I want you to not understand what went through Peter's mind. Peter had been with the Lord when he walked with him on the sea. Peter had been with the Lord when he calmed the seas and made them to be still. Peter had seen Jesus crucified on the cross, and he understood these things carnally. But that very day in the upper room when the Spirit came, he seen not only Jesus, he didn't see the Son of Mary no more. He now seen the Savior. And when he seen the Savior, he started preaching. Amen. And when he started preaching, people started getting saved. The Bible said they was added unto the church about 5,000 people. Amen. That very day. And they looked at Peter and they said, this man's drunk with wine. He said, I'm not drunk with wine. It's only the third hour of the day. I'm just full of Jesus. You see, they knew there was a change. Preacher, you don't believe that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved? Absolutely, I believe that. That's how I got saved. But the day I believe that is the day I quit asking Why do I need to be saved? But how? And the little eunuch that was on his chariot riding down, as Philip run one of the greatest revivals, according to the scripture that we know of, ever had been. And Philip was called away by the Spirit. And there was a eunuch man. He was riding in his chariot down a little old dirt road in the desert. And the Bible says that Philip showed up unannounced out of the middle of nowhere before this eunuch. And he looked to the eunuch. He said, "Understandest what thou readest?" He said, "How can I, lest some man show me?" Friends, listen to me. It's not our job nor our place to make somebody read the Word of God. It's not our place to make somebody believe the Word of God. It's our place to show them the Word of God. How can I, lest some man show me? The Bible said he took up from Isaiah 53 and preached unto him Jesus. When he got through preaching, the eunuch said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" In the middle of the desert, glory to God, there's a mud puddle, Tommy, big enough in the middle of the desert for a little eunuch to get baptized in. Why? Because there had been a change. A lot of people have told me over the years, "Preacher, you make me doubt my salvation. I'm glad I made you do something. Because I don't want you to die lost and go to hell." I hate going to the doctor. I hate it. But when I get scared enough, or when I get sick enough, I go. Friends, listen to me this morning. I want you to realize that it's not anything that I could say, nor any other preacher or person. It don't matter, it don't have to be a preacher. But the change must come from the Lord. It has to come from the Lord. Jacob wrestled with the angel this night, and the Bible says that he wrestled with him to the breaking of the day. The angel told Jacob, said, "Turn me loose." This is what we as Christians need to start doing. Amen. Now the Bible says, now who was this angel? The angel never gave his name. I believe it was Yeshua, the Lord Jesus. I believe he wrapped him up that night. Amen. He just didn't realize who the angel was. But as he wrapped him up, the Bible says that, listen, that he wrestled with him to the breaking of the day. The angel told him, said, "Turn me loose." And Jacob made this declaration: if the Christians of today would get this serious, then we would see a change on the face of the church that would save an entire world. He said, "I'm not turning you loose until you bless me." Some people give up too easy because it gets too hard. But what if, when it's the hardest, if you just held on a little while longer? Weeping cometh in the night, but joy cometh in the morning. What if you just hold on a little while longer? The Bible says that he touched the hollow of his thigh and his sinew shrank. And the scripture said that, listen, not only did his sinew shrank. Now listen, we're talking about a change. What does that mean? What does it mean that his sinew shrank? His ligaments in his leg got drew up by the touch of the angel. Now listen to me. First of all, he went into this. His name was Jacob, and he walked fine. Amen. And now you've got to remember, listen, he had two wives he dropped off before this evening, and they seen him, and his name was Jacob, and he walked fine. But he come out of there the next day, and he presented himself to all the people, and he had a gimp in his leg. And he said, "Let me tell you what happened to me last night." change. And when they seen him limping, they said, that's the man that wrestled with the angel. Don't you want people to see a change in you? I've always said, listen, a lot of people say, well, why don't you ever tell anybody you're a preacher? I don't care. Listen, I don't want people to respect me for what my title is. I want people to respect me for who I represent. Yeah. Amen. Listen, I want you to respect me because you can see Jesus in me, not because I'm the pastor of Silver City, because when I die and go to heaven, because I pastored 4 or 5 different churches in my life, makes no difference in span of eternity. What matters is there was a change in my life, and Jesus is my Savior. Now, with all this being said this morning, has there truly been a change in your life? Have you been coerced into easy believism? Or has there been real conviction? Real contriteness of your own heart, the reality of hell, the reality that you're a sinner, and the reality that if you died in your sin, that hell would be your eternal home. Have you reached that state? Have you reached that phase and point in your life when you realize that if you stood before the judgment bar of God, that hell would be your home? Then the reality comes, I must change. I must change. And the only way I can is through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father lest he come by me. He said in John chapter 10, he said, I am the shepherd of the sheep. He said, when I call their name, they know my voice and come. You see, not only is there a change, but with that change, and the accompaniment of salvation, the Bible said this, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. And a lot of times we apply that scripture to the moment that we're saved, but not only is it the moment we're saved, but the rest of our lives. We work out constantly our salvation in the process of sanctification because the Bible said, be ye holy for I am holy. It ought to be our objective in our life not to remain the same sinful creature that we've always been, but salvation is a process of constantly growing in holiness and godliness until we see Him face to face. A change. Come to the piano if you would. If y'all would come with a song. I really don't. I don't know your heart this morning. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. It's not my intention. I promise you it's not. It's never has been, nor will it ever be my intention to talk you out of anything, to make you doubt. But I believe the truth. Phil Robertson said this a few weeks ago. It sounded just like Jesus when he said it, I tell you. He said, the truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. I don't hate you this morning. I love you. I just want to see you saved by the grace of God. I don't want to see you deceived in this world that we live in, which teaches everything. Listen, you know, the world teaches us today that we've got to give everybody a chance, that nobody gets their feelings hurt, that we don't do this, that we don't do this. It's equal opportunity this. And what I'm going to tell you is this. The world does not treat everybody fairly or equally. Amen? Cancer comes to the saved and the lost. It's how, because of the change and because of Jesus, it's how we deal with the things that are presented to us. Friends, this morning, have you been changed by the Spirit of God?